Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I had a drink last night on the night
before. Here we go.
No, nothing to do with this. England were playing Argentina in the World Cup.
You are a little boy. You are a lovely little boy.
And they won 3-2.
Yeah. Right.
And we'd done a ramble react at half time. And that's when we were going to do the ramble react. And I was going, no, surely this makes more sense to do it at full time.
Right.
We've got the game in.
You've done too many rambles.
And I was arguing with everybody, going, no, we can just wait for the second half to finish. But no, we've got to do it now.
We've got to do it now.
Yeah, that was my
dream. I did tweet some and got the ramble react half time because of the Chelsea Spurs game. So you might have read that, maybe.
Yeah.
Subconsciously.
It's good that you, even in your subconscious, you're still thinking about the ramble.
Still trying to fight the good fight, Jim.
Exactly. All right, let's go.
Anyway, so Terry Butcher and I did the ramble react. Do not stop the party, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Brighton win again in Europe, but Liverpool lost. It's Friday, 10th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Jim Campbell. Welcome, everybody. It's Friday. Harumph!
Harumph!
Is it good? A positive harumph? You know,
harumph is probably a bad thing.
I know, but I'm changing
it. High harumphing on a Friday.
Wow, this is going to be a big weekend.
Marcus has reclaimed harumph.
Damn right. Up is down, left is right. Oi, harumph is good. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Harumph. I said harumph.
Right.
Harumph, harumph.
You just watched
three
yourself.
Harumphs thank for Marcus. Hip, hip, harumph.
There we are, everybody. Now, before we talk about all that Europa League and Europa Conference League action, we just want to say that we bloody love bringing you the Football Ramble throughout each and every season. And if you love listening to us as we love listening to you, or talking to you at least, then please do sign up to our Football Ramble Patreon. As a friend of the Ramble, you'll get zero ads on the shows. You'll get access to our Discord community with over 1,000 other Patreon subscribers like you. And the chat is scintillating, let me tell you. You'll get more Ramble content with an extended edition of every single Wednesday Football Ramble delivered directly into your podcast app of choice. And that's all for $5 a month. So do search patreon.com/footballramble for more info. Or click on the link in the show notes. Gentlemen, let us march over to Amsterdam, where Ajax lost 2-0 to Brighton. Another victory for Brighton against those European heavyweights, Jim.
Gadzooks. Mm. Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? Although James Milner going off injured did like rock my own faith in mortality.
Oh, also, I mean,
it's all going to end one day.
He'll be back.
I think what more have Ajax got to do to not be considered heavyweights anymore?
Yeah, they are really having a go.
Like, you know, they're doing Man United moves, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from Brighton, but I mean, there's a certain set of circumstances that need to happen over quite a long period of time for a club like Brighton to the double in Europe over Ajax.
Well, yeah.
It's happened, and good for them.
But I loved Roberto De Zerbi, who was absolutely beaming after the match, as you could say.
And
And he said, this is one of the greatest results in this club's 122-year history.
Oh, without a doubt.
And if someone it's was the best one, probably.
Well, there you go. But if someone
if
was to say...
If you don't concentrate on how Ajax are playing.
Yeah, well, this
moment.
Is it. So if someone said, but Ajax, I mean, they're not that good. 122-year history, mate. This is the best one.
I think that's right. And I think, you know, someone said in the commentary team, didn't they, that, you know, 20-odd years ago, Brighton were playing in front of 1,900 people. They drew it home to Mansfield, and they were bottom of the Football League.
There you go.
And now, look what's happening to them. And of course, I don't necessarily think, actually, that Ajax need to be really, really bad for Brighton to have been able to beat them, because Brighton are a good team, you know, one of the best teams in the country, and they've finished in the upper echelons of the Premier League. So, you know, that's why they're in this competition. So we have to respect that. They're a good team. And
we respect that.
The financial muscle of the Premier League obviously comes to the fore as well. But it's just an incredible situation. And I'm saying it with love. I'm saying it like I felt this when they beat them in the home game as well. You look around the Amex at the fans there, they can't believe their luck. And that's a really nice thing. It's not a bad thing. It's great.
But they use that energy as momentum, don't they? They were brilliant in the stadium last night. You could hear them all throughout the game. And they were really in control for most of it as well. Both goals are really, really slick moves.
Normally they
would dominate possession. They didn't so much, but they were comfortable with that as well.
It was very good. I mean, to put it in context about how Ajax are doing at the moment, that was only Brighton's second clean sheet in all competitions this season. Mm. The first one being the home game against Ajax. Yeah.
And they've had to turn this group around as well, though.
They have, Jim. That's a good point to make. Ansu Fati scored again.
Lovely finish.
A lovely finish. He's having a good time. He's scored a few goals now at Brighton, and he's playing with a smile on his face, which Roberto De Zerbi said he wanted him to when he went there. But De Zerbi did say... despite Fatty's man of the match performance, he said he can't just score and assist and then that's enough. He's got to want more. And I suppose, Jim...
Well, he needs to start games then, doesn't he?
Well...
He's starting the Premier League yet.
Yeah.
Give him a chance.
But do you not think, Jim, that is... You know, if all things were well with Ansu Fati, he wouldn't be at Brighton. He'd still be at Barcelona.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So it feeds into that.
It's not been a sort of linear progression for Ansu Fati, hasn't it? Because obviously he's still really, really young. But I suppose part of De Zerbi's work here is to challenge him as much as possible, because he looked like he could be an absolute world beater when he started, and there's everything to suggest if he can put fitness issues behind him that might still be the case. So, I mean, he's probably got a bespoke plan for motivating him, isn't he, that we're seeing here?
Yeah, are Arsenal going to try and pinch him when he's done a
break? They were linked with him, actually. Oh, De Zerbi, do you mean?
Both.
Little Christmas package.
I think Arteta's safe for now.
Yeah, I think he probably is. Yeah, they were linked with Fati in the summer, but I think it might have been a little bit spurious. I don't think it's a position that they'll be looking for.
Well, we know we can play in the Premier League. We'll take it from here, everybody.
Can I spare a word for someone who has to be considered one of the greatest Brighton players of all time, and that's Pascal Gross.
You love Pascal Gross.
He's great.
Last night, halfway through the second half, whatever it was, we need someone to play left back. I'll do it.
Yep.
No problem. 32. I'll do anything.
Yeah,
I'm normally playing the right, but I'll play left back.
A glorious.
See out the clean sheet.
Yeah, he's been wonderful.
Milner being in the side, though, you are a bit like, I'm not the oldest.
No, it's true.
And I'm not the most versatile.
Had gone off, though, so maybe that's it. Maybe that's how it works. Oldest has to be the big brother,
the granddaddy of the club.
Has to fill in, yeah.
Milner's the end of level boss, versatile old man, isn't he?
Right, yeah. He's the ultimate.
Pascal Gross has got a few years to go yet, but I just think he's amazing. I think he's a brilliant player.
He is very much so. Going around the English sides last night, before we get to Liverpool, we should mention West Ham getting a good win at home against Olympiacos, and that goal from Lucas Paquetar. It was the assist, Pete Donaldson, from James Ward-Prowse, that we bloody love.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really professional performance from West Ham in its entirety. I think Olympiacos could have... West Ham are quite leaky, aren't they, at the back? That's where they've kind
of... That's where
their problems lie in the Premier League. But they sort of bided Bordod, their time.
Bordod glimpsed
their time. And they,
Joe Biden, their time.
And I think they're quite wasteful, Olympiacos. So West Ham, great win.
Oh, yeah, it was a lovely goal. I was glad he was onside for that.
He also, there was a check, wasn't there? And he went down, once it was given, he went down the other end to give it some shit to the Olympiacos fans. Because the first leg was quite tasty in that. Mm. In the pre-game build-up to this, there was yet another reference to Keystone Cops. This was a reference to David Moyes referencing it. So it's a reference to a reference to a reference.
Ooh.
And when this was put to Joe Carl, he said, oh, Moyes, he's got loads of 80s references. It's like, no one knows what this reference is.
It was a reference in the 80s and it referenced something from the 20s. I would say that, like...
So the Keystone Cops movies were apparently made between 1912 and 1917.
Yeah.
The 80s.
And also...
I must be fucking ancient.
And also, like, the idea of a keystone as well. It's like, you know, it's the top of the arch. It's the thing that holds everything together. Yeah. So it's kind of weird for them to be named that anyway.
I remember
they were named after the studio, apparently, because that's how Hollywood used to be. Hey, we're a studio. We got some stupid cops for you.
But I always remember being around when people were saying that stuff when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I never really questioned it.
No.
You just always, there just must be stupid cops, right?
Yeah.
You don't understand it. You don't really care.
I presume it's like the LA riots or something, like something involved there. I don't know.
Where's that come from?
Because the police were corrupt, weren't they?
Marcus,
yeah.
What? I can have a go at the LA riot. I can have a go at Daryl Gates, the head of the LA riot cop division.
I think I can safely have a go at him.
All right?
Jim, you and I are going to stand back for a moment. Luke's defending the LA riot.
I wasn't
Pete's
defending
having a go
it.
At the coppers.
I was just confused as the reference. I wasn't defending the actions.
Uh-huh. Right, okay.
I was just confused.
You're stood on top of your bodega with a gun, right? Firing at will.
Bodegas are actually in New York, so you've embarrassed yourself.
All right.
There.
Yeah.
Ask Daryl Gates.
Is it fair to say Pete is the Keystone Cops of this show?
I think we all enjoyed that interaction, right, everybody, and we're all wiser for it. West Ham are top of their group, though, more importantly. And in the UEFA Conference League, we should give a little mention to those villains, of course, Aston Villa, who moved up to second in their group with a nice win. It's all coming up, the English clubs in Europe.
Well, I think, you know, you've realistically got to suggest that Aston Villa should be targeting to win this.
Yeah,
yes.
Especially with their manager.
Has
he ever won the Conference League? He won't have done, because he's only been around for a couple of seasons.
Marcus, he's never lowered himself.
He's never had the chance.
No, exactly.
Because
we've
already had, what, Mourinho and Moyes, of course, would be the only winners, unless I'm missing one there.
No, it's only the third one. So.
Yeah, there you are.
He's never going to have... He's still doing this good evening, which I like as well. Did that before the game at pitch side.
Although if he does win that one, then it does put a bit of pressure on him to win the Champions League, to get the full set.
Mm.
You know, you see.
Not a Villa.
I think that's too far.
Stop having
this
a
this
go
year.
At Aston Villa and Birmingham
club.
In general.
Great club.
But Marcus, the plan will be to win the Conference League this year, to qualify for the Europa League, win the Europa League,
there you go.
Qualify for the Champions League and have a crack at it.
That's clear
one.
Progression.
Oh,
that'll
definitely happen.
It's obvious.
Yeah. It is obvious.
It's easy. Give it to him now.
Yeah.
Give it to him now.
Forgive me for not seeing that.
But the reason I'm saying that is because they have found it a little bit trickier than they thought they would, I expect.
Yeah.
And then you look at the size of the budgets of the Premier League clubs compared to some of these European teams. And really, I mean, that's why, you know, as I think you guys mentioned on Ramble Reacts after the United game, the very idea that, like, Alejandro Garnacho is, like, shushing Copenhagen fans, it's just embarrassing. Like, if I was his manager, and I understand Erik ten Hag might not be in control of a lot at the moment, but if I was that much in control I could do this, I would say to him, what are you fucking doing?
I'd kick him out of the WhatsApp group.
Shut the fuck up.
But you said Aston Villa are finding it a bit tricky. They have won 3 out of 4.
I wasn't talking necessarily about last night. I was talking about they were beaten by Legia Warsaw, weren't they?
They were.
But
they've bounced back.
In a ding-dong. It was a ding-dong
they
affair.
They have bounced back.
Yeah.
Are Liverpool going to bounce back in the Europa League? They were beaten 3-2 by Toulouse. Toulouse or not Toulouse, Jim? That's the question.
The Klopper was fuming.
Yeah.
He's absolutely fuming.
Keystone Clippity Klopp.
Keystone Klopp. There's a show
there
title.
We go,
thing.
Yeah,
great.
Get in there.
It was like the press conference arrangements have been put in there specifically to annoy him.
They knew
and it fucking
funny.
Worked.
Yeah. It was in a tent. Yeah. If anyone missed this, it was in a tent.
It was in a
and
tent.
You could hear the fans just having the absolute time of their lives while he's sitting there going, "Who's arranged this?
Why was
this ridiculous? What is this?
It's a one-man Firefest.
Yeah. Welcome to the Europa League.
I did not buy tickets for Firefest. I did not expect to be.
Do we get a reason why? I mean, well, I'm sure we'll go on the Reddit forums for Liverpool, but like, have you got a reason why that happened in a tent?
Who cares?
Were they doing? I just think they're playing LASK next in the Europa League.
Yeah.
You just sort of think they have the chance to do some really fun. Who took us to a strudel factory to do this. An alpine horn testing facility.
Yes.
And I'm trying to do my post-match.
It's interesting that the president of Toulouse is Damien Camoli as well.
Right.
He was at Liverpool
for a while.
Yes.
Mm. Good knowledge.
Quite interesting.
I do like that Toulouse Stadium. I always enjoy seeing it. Rise of the 98 World Cup.
Great kit as well.
Yeah.
Mm. And that, they've got a purple kind of thing going on. Yeah.
Lots of like.
Proper club.
Maybe the setup there is because they're got a slightly smaller facilities than what you'd expect. Mm-hmm. And so they have to do a kind of makeshift in because they're in Europe. I don't know this. I mean, we need Andy to tell us. But anyway.
Give them the benefit of the banter.
The upshot is that, like, I understand it's annoying, particularly the way they were beaten, because Jota scored late on, and then there was another goal from a young player who, you know, would have scored his first goal for Liverpool, and it's disallowed for. Fairly, given the laws now.
I'm going to have to stop you there.
Okay, right.
Because the IFAB laws state that an accidental handball that leads to a teammate scoring a goal or having a goal-scoring opportunity will no longer be considered an offence. Oh. Do you think McAllister meant to handle that?
Absolutely not.
Right. So, really, the goal should have stood.
Well, can I have a go at answering the question?
Go on.
If you're playing at that level and you can't control the ball properly...
It's different, though, isn't it?
Then... if it's accidental, it shouldn't have been accidental. So that leads me to believe it's deliberate.
Mike Dean, is that you?
I see.
So what? Interestingly enough, fair enough. If that's the law as it is now, then I stand corrected. Said the man in the orthopaedic shoe. But I was at the time slightly confused because I thought there was a T-shirt law now anyway.
T-shirt law,
yeah, where if it hits you above the T-shirt line, it's not handball.
Right,
and it looked like it did. My point is, anyway, that you can understand why Klopp is annoyed at the situation, right? At the same time, his team defended abysmally.
Which he did say he was more annoyed about.
Yeah, but also...
couldn't hear him.
Exactly.
Apparently. I had to lip read that.
But there has to be an understanding, surely, that if you get beaten, you're a massive club. Mm. For Toulouse to beat Liverpool at this stage is crazy. It's amazing for them. And they're going to be celebrating. Yeah. You've got to fucking take it on the chin. You look like the world's biggest idiot.
It was a great game, though.
Yeah, it was a brilliant game.
Epic of Gilgamesh stuff. It really was.
It was really good. And do you understand what I mean? Where you just look so churlish if you're going to be angry about that.
Yeah. I think he can be annoyed at the whole situation in general, though, and his team, you know, letting him down, disappointing him in his mind, having a late equaliser chalked off for a spurious reason.
Well, see, apparently it's spurious. I didn't know that, so that's on me for not understanding that. Crazy. Well,
I mean, Liverpool are still top of the group, we should say. So they're still as you would expect them to be. But it is a remarkable result for Toulouse. I mean, considering Liverpool battered them 5-1 at Anfield, and they've got a famous victory there. So I don't think this will impinge on Liverpool's challenge for the Europa League. And of course, Liverpool are in action against Brentford on Sunday at 2 p.m. back in the old Premier League. Now, this could be the old banana skin, couldn't it? Brentford have won their last three games, and they bloody love giving it to the big boys.
They do, and Liverpool's midfield looks a bit disjointed at the moment, doesn't it? There was a lot of that on display yesterday, and you wonder if Brentford will fancy this, because they are just... they're just stacked with confidence, aren't they, Brentford?
Yeah.
That's been one of the tenets of their time in the Premier League.
The only thing that's down against them would be the fact that at Anfield their record's not very good, but they have got a decent record against Liverpool generally. Last season they beat them at Griffin Park.
And winning their last three games, you know, Brentford were...
Brentford Community Stadium, whatever it's called.
Winning the last three games, suddenly they're up to ninth, you know, just a couple of points behind Brighton, you know. Mm. So they've started to churn out some results, really. And, you know, we've talked about them a lot, but with Brian and Mbeumo, who is, you know, this season on form, one of the best attacking players in the league, and whatnot, they are set up as they did against Chelsea. Yeah, they rode their luck a little bit, we can't deny. But to play on the break as they do, it's a lovely old job. And against these bigger sides, it's perfect.
Big Neil Maupoy back in the goals as well.
Yeah, there you go.
14-month gold route for a striker. That is poor.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
I don't think you should be allowed to celebrate the goal. I think it should be like a bank account. You've got to deposit a certain amount before you can start withdrawing celebrations.
Is he still in debt?
He's in his overdraft.
Nathan Collins said of Neil Maupoy, he said, Neil is a madman. He's one of the most unpredictable people ever, but we're all buzzing for him.
That sort of implies he's deliberately not been scoring.
He's so unpredictable because we always think he's going to score and then he doesn't.
We're all buzzing for him because we're pretty frightened.
He's been predictable. It's cliche to score goals as a striker.
Pete, you are definitely one of the most unpredictable people ever. Do you have any strong feelings about Neil Maupoy?
I'd definitely put him in my fantasy team because I hate myself.
Sure.
checks out.
He gets the minutes. He just doesn't get the goals.
He gets the minutes, everybody. Yeah. So, yeah, an interesting one there, of course. I mean, Liverpool, they are third in the Premier League. We shouldn't forget that. I think that we talked, a number of weeks ago saying that the results have been a little bit better than the performances. But at some point, you know, you look around and you kind of think, well, actually, after 11 games, they're 3 points off Manchester City at the top.
Yeah.
They're very much in the title race. It is good, of course, and dropping points at Luton, of course, was disappointing. But they're there,
think of the narrative around two clubs like, say, Liverpool and Spurs, who were separated by 2 points. There's been a lot of positive chat about Spurs, and understandably so, and rightly so. And there's not really been that much chat about Liverpool. They've gone under the radar as much as a team of the size Liverpool can go.
Yeah.
Under the radar, but Liverpool have scored more goals than Premier League than Spurs. They've conceded fewer goals, they are vaguely comparable, even though Spurs have got a couple of extra points. And given Liverpool's experience at the very top of the Premier League under Klopp, you know, it wouldn't be hugely surprising to see them there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I think the important thing is that they're scoring goals. I mean, only Manchester City and Newcastle United have scored more goals than them in the league this season.
No, Aston Villa have.
Thus far. Aston Villa, really?
Aston Villa scored 26, Liverpool scored 24.
My giddy aunt. Goal difference, I meant. Sorry.
Oh, okay. But that's clearly not what you said, though, is it?
That's clearly not what I said, and I'm now correcting myself.
Yeah.
So, right. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a little something for you here.
As Marcus would say, I think we've all learned something here.
Only Manchester City and Newcastle have got a superior goal difference.
Marcus, that's spot on.
Yeah. Well done, mate. I've got the table in front of me.
Do my comments about Mbueno? Mbueno?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Just trying to help Marcus out and I fucked
it. Nice it.
Nice it. I'm going to nice it for you.
Peter,
I'm going to nice it.
You've got a Kinder Bueno in your hand.
Kinder Bueno.
I'm getting a little bit confused.
That could be the tagline for Kinder Bueno. Nice it.
Nice it.
Yeah.
Crunch.
Yeah.
Is it crunch?
I don't know. Bruno Guimarães loves a Kinder Bueno, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. He's got to stop eating them, apparently.
It's an egg,
yeah.
Isn't he? He likes the eggs.
I think it's
I think it's all of it.
I think it's the I can't say Mbueno. The Bueno, the Kinder Bueno.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I think it's for good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bueno. Whereas
you're melting my mind. Help.
Kinder egg is presumably child egg.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And Kinder Bueno is child good.
It all makes sense in the end.
It does.
It all makes sense in the end.
Yeah.
Before we move on from Liverpool, did you read Roberto Firmino's
I did.
Extract?
I read the extract
from his sort of memoir
what
of his time
say,
at
Marcus?
Liverpool.
What did he say?
I read it and I thought, this will be a fucking boring book. Really boring.
Yeah. You weren't that bothered by the
extract. I like that bit fell some way short of explosive.
Yeah,
but I got the impression it would be the most explosive part of it.
Yeah,
I thought they chose it.
Yeah, I thought that. So he was suggesting that obviously on the pitch he played in between Mane and Salah, one of the finest forward lines we've ever seen, quite frankly. And he was suggesting that I had to pull them apart sometimes because they didn't really get on. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, they were going to come to blows and all this. But it really focused on that game away to Burnley when they won 3-0, and Mane was really pissed off with Salah.
Salah didn't pass to him
for not passing and so on. And he said, oh yeah, they. And I think at one point he said, they didn't really talk to each other, but then they would always talk to each other. And I thought,
the gist is obviously nice man is nice. Isn't
it? And I think it was always kind of fairly well known that Firmino was the kind of glue that, the happy-go-lucky kind of glue, right? It wasn't, and crucially was a far more balanced person, but also wasn't that bothered about personal goal scoring record, which is quite rare for a guy who's playing through the middle and wearing number 9.
He wasn't always an out-and-out striker. Well, that's often an attacking midfielder and stuff,
But it is interesting in the sense that Salah and Mane weren't really friends. He doesn't imply that they didn't get on, but there was a sense they didn't really spend time together or hang out. You would think that being in a front three like that, challenging for absolutely everything as they did, would be one of the ultimate bonding experiences. So it's really interesting to me that they just kind of were a bit distant like that.
I'll bond with you, Jim.
Yeah,
if you want. Yeah. Later on. Yeah,
I'll bond with you like Firmino's teeth.
Make a bit
bonded with the original teeth.
Sorry, Jim. Pete's doing something about Firmino's teeth.
That's it.
No buenos.
Done it now. No buenos. No buenos for Firmino.
No.
They rot them out.
Peter, is it time for a break?
No. Marcus, it's not, because I have a message from Lost Vagabonds on Instagram. Peruvian Liga 1 correspondent here, checking in with some top shithousery from a whole football club to another. In tonight's classical final of the league, a weird South American two-legged cup final, league match final, all rolled into one. Universitario versus Alianza Lima, the Peruvian classical, finished with La U, as they are known, winning away at Alianza. After the last 5 minutes, full of flares and players falling over themselves in the dying seconds. The match was won, so what did Alianza do? They switched off all of the lights. 30,000 people in the stadium couldn't celebrate or be seen celebrating on television.
It's a massive health and safety issue.
No,
it's
not massive, the, yeah.
I don't want to sound like the most British bloke in the world, but that is a very, very dangerous thing to do.
It is massively, and like, I mean...
I think other people in other countries are concerned with health and safety.
No, but it's kind of a British thing to say, though, isn't it? Like, do you know there's actually some rules here?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah,
it's very much against the spirit of the game, but I would say they if a club fan comes in from their governing body, they'll just turn the fax machine off.
Fax machine off.
Didn't hear it.
I could see Mourinho doing that at Rome, but just having a spotlight on him and just doing that.
Sprinklers on.
Yeah.
Like, people are calling it shithousing. This is bigger than shithousing. It's shit palacing. This is Dion Dublin showing you around a 5-bedroom shit house with a pool.
Stairs upstairs to the bedrooms.
Yeah, yeah. Permission to extend. Yeah. Lovely.
Shit homes under the hammer.
Yeah.
Time for a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Chaps.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. John McGinn there with his favourite food.
Yep.
Chaps.
The big one on Sunday at 4:30 is Chelsea versus Manchester City. How about that? Now, before we get to the game, Gareth Southgate announces England squad yesterday.
Yeah, get him out of the final
way. For the final two European Championship qualifiers, of course. Largely unchanged, apart from Eddie Nketiah and John Stones sitting out because of injury. The big news, though, Pete Donaldson, is Raheem Sterling has been left out once again. For the fifth time in a row, Gareth Southgate has insisted the door is 100% open, but just not at the moment.
Well, closing it. click.
It's closed for a few weeks, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah. Well, of course, this is.
He does it like he would skitter in rather than walk in, wouldn't he?
A lot of skittering. Yeah. I think this would be the penultimate England squad, of course, before the Euros in March. There's friendlies against Brazil and I forget who the other, Belgium, I think. So, yes, it's interesting. I mean,
I'm so glad they didn't take Gordon. I was like, please Gordon. Don't take Gordon.
Gordon. Gordon.
Please don't take Gordon.
Sterling, only Harry Kane has got more caps under Southgate.
Yeah.
Than
I'm not 55 against 53, I think it is.
As it's been made in the media, a huge part of Southgate's England, of course. And yet since that time where he decided that he wasn't fit enough or he wanted to work on his fitness or something like that last June, and he decided not to to join up, Southgate's not picked him again.
Yeah, I think perfect balance is sort of impossible in international football, isn't it, in terms of picking your squads and keeping everybody ready for you know, the challenges that come ahead. And I think if there's anyone you can leave out and know that they can just pick up where they left off based on their experience and their previous contributions and, you know, age profile and whatnot, it is Raheem Sterling.
And I think you pick him as well because he can play in a various number of positions across. He can play the right or the left. Mm-hmm. He's done that for Chelsea this year. He's played for the middle as well a bit, I think.
So you would pick him?
I think I probably would.
He'll
at this
be
point.
In the squad.
Can I also say there's been a
Madison's pulled out.
Yeah, a little bit news this morning. James Madison's pulled out due to injury. I think he's been carrying a little injury for a while.
Reece James has decided not to go because to work on his fitness. And Southgate said, "Look, I understand that," but he said, "But he's also got to realise there's only one more squad after this, and there's fierce competition, particularly in that area."
Mm. Now, Harry Maguire could play there.
He could. Now he's starting for Manchester United. Do you think?
I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You see. I knew he'd come back round.
And he's brilliant. They're brilliant.
Yeah, it's so
at
good.
At the moment.
Yeah.
It's not
I love the way he remonstrates.
Yes.
With officials.
It's a lot of that, yeah.
Indeed. Well, that could come in handy in the Euros, of course.
Could do, yeah.
Jordan Henderson's in there.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he
good
is.
Good to see, yeah. Playing at a very high level. Yeah. You've enjoyed his performances for his club recently, Marcus, presumably, have you?
Yeah. I think, you know, speaking on the 698 of us that saw the game.
I got so excited as I closed down my running order.
The thing is, just briefly on Sterling, when it was put to Southgate, and he said, "Well, who do you drop?" Which is a fair question. But if you look in those positions, I mean, Saka is now starting where Sterling used to. And on the other side, you know, he quite likes Foden, which is fair enough. I mean, there is a spot for Jarrod Bowen in there. I think if you're Sterling, you're thinking, well, you know, surely I've done a bit more than him. But I think it's harsh to maybe pick on Bowen because, as you said, we know what Sterling can contribute at England. But it will be interesting to see if he can get back into that squad come March.
What do you make of that FA review of Sterling for throwing something back into the crowd, allegedly, against Spurs?
Yes.
Didn't Carragher get like a police caution for that back in the day?
That rings a vague bell.
Well, that was it at
Arsenal. He was spitting.
No, someone threw a coin at him and he picked it up and he threw it.
No,
he caught it in his mouth and he spat it right back.
Yeah. Right.
At the speed of a
like
bullet.
Like Kirby.
Bruce Lee-esque.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Nice. Mm. The issue with...
You see many Bruce Lee films, Marcus.
He doesn't do a lot of spitting, Bruce
Lee. See much Kung Fu.
He doesn't do a lot of spitting, Bruce Lee. But anyway, Sterling, it's a weird situation because, of course, the players need to hold themselves up to a higher standard. This has come from a video that was shared quite widely on TikTok.
Yeah. By his own club, unhelpfully.
By Gareth Southgate. See.
I see.
But at the same time, part of me does think, and I know this is a controversial thing to say, but part of me does think, right, if you are going to throw something like that at a player, you're going to come out here, and he's a professional athlete, and he gets to throw it back.
Yeah.
At the same range, it's perfectly fair.
He's allowed to whang it at
right
you.
Your fucking
club branded catapult.
Yeah, you idiot. Yeah. So I can't have too much sympathy for him because obviously he understands the rules. Mm. But at the same time, it's like, do we really have to deal with this kind of thing? Can people just not do this stupid shit all the time? Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Those gold bars they were throwing in midweek.
Apparently they weren't actually
they
gold.
They weren't actually gold bars.
Yeah, because your grounds would be like, I'll deal with this.
I'll deal with this.
Just cut his fork out, digging holes. Burying them.
Yes, come back later for this lot.
Yeah.
Chelsea, of course, beat Tottenham Hotspur in that incredible game last Monday.
It was one of the best games I've ever seen.
It was incredible.
It was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I like the high line that Spurs played. You were a little bit, I thought, unfair.
No, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I said it was suicidal.
I didn't think it was suicidal.
They lost 4-1 at home.
Yeah, but the two goals were very late on and they had chances to equalise. Yeah. That's the point.
If you're going
to
say the goals were late on,
yes,
then you need to acknowledge the sheer amount of fuckery that Chelsea performed before that.
Yeah, but they know that, so they had a go. And if Son has a chance, and was it, I forget who nearly got the header. And
Eric Dyer's very narrow one as well.
And when we say it was a late goals, they were late goals.
Yeah, exactly. To the point of, I don't think they should have stood.
No. So congratulations to Spurs on their draw against Chelsea.
It was a brilliant point. And that highline did it. And of course, you know, that's just Ange for you. Because we love everything he does.
Everything he does.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He can't do any wrong, Jim. Do you want to come in on that?
Everything to me.
Bit of Michelle Branch.
Bit of Michelle Branch.
Wrong lyrics, but we understand where you're going with it.
Yeah, everything to me?
You're everywhere to me.
Oh,
I always do that.
Yeah. I don't know any of this.
Yeah. Nicholas Jackson.
So I'm going to move on.
Nicholas Jackson scored a hat-trick, Peter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good for him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Right, okay, yeah, we like that. Christian Nkunku finally rejoined training this week after Ed Sheeran injured him in the summer.
Imagine losing a fight to Ed Sheeran.
Well.
Not acceptable, is it?
He looks like, I mean, he looks like a Chelsea loanee from like Sweden.
Yeah, he does.
A couple of matches in the Carling Cup, then you're off to the Juniper.
Jupiler.
Yeah, maybe. I'm pleased for Nkunku because he's obviously a good player and we want to see him play.
Yeah. And I mean, he's a really, really good player.
Yeah.
He's going to be a difference maker for Chelsea when he's fit.
I think so.
He's the forgotten man a little bit, but that's a huge, huge advantage.
It is, yes.
I think it's a big test for Man City as well on Sunday. It's a Sunday afternoon curtain closer, if that's the phrase.
I think so.
It's a big test for both these teams. With Chelsea have been resurgent. Man City have shown themselves to be a bit vulnerable here or there, so it'll be a really good litmus test for both of them, I think.
Yeah. What did you think of the news that Manchester City are possibly prepared to sell Kevin De Bruyne?
Where's this come from, though?
Yeah.
Because I read earlier this week that Big Ange has been linked with Man United. So you can read anything.
Yeah. Well, there's interest from Saudi Arabia.
Mm. I mean, do you not think for like such a... I mean, he's a miserable man. It would be a great move for him, miserable-wise. Like, really into his Garfield without lasagna kind of vibes. Like, in a big high-rise, just looking out going, I'm so miserable.
When Kevin De Bruyne was linked with moving away from Man City, someone obviously rang up Gabby Agbonlahor for a quote. And this wasn't even Gabby Agbonlahor on his
it wasn't even on Talk
terrible
Sport.
Radio show. Right. Someone called him up. And he just, this is basically what he said. He's irreplaceable, but what you should do is just go out and get the next best player.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Gabby. That's what I need.
He identified that as Jamal Musiala.
Yeah.
And Jamal Musiala is a great player.
Yeah.
It's a shout, though, isn't it?
Big shout.
It's a huge shout.
Never go to Gabby for anything.
Or,
really?
Nah.
Or even on Cameo to
go
give
to
me
him
a
for
little...
everything.
Yeah, one or the
because
other.
This happens.
I enjoyed the Cameo that Pete arranged for you.
Yeah. Well, then, get off his back.
Well, then.
Crying out ruddy loud. John Stones still injured.
Mm.
Not good news.
How did Pep Guardiola describe it?
He said it's deep bad news.
This is deep bad news. Yeah. It's like a dubbed film, isn't it?
It's not his first language.
Oh, no,
Come on.
I dropped my gun. I got a bigger gun. I'm the baddie. Pep Guardiola.
This is Keystone Cops again, isn't it? I mean, Man City will be favourites for this game against Chelsea, going back to that.
Yeah.
The Spurs game was such an odd one. But they did win 4-1, and it is a confidence boost to Jackson. We're still not sure. Some of the Chelsea performances, as we've mentioned and other people have done, that the performance has been a bit better than the results. But some of the performances have not been good. You know, they are 10th. The league table does not lie, Jim.
They've been very inconsistent, haven't they, in terms of when they get a result that you think, okay, all right, the fun's over now. They're going to start being more like the Chelsea we know.
Mm-hmm.
Then they lose a game or they drop points in a silly way. So I think, you know, going to...
This could be 3-0 Manchester City.
Entertaining City is a big ask.
I think the league table does lie a little bit at this stage of the season.
Do you think?
A little bit. I think the more we go on, the less it lies.
Right.
For sure.
What lie is it telling at the moment, then?
It's a very small white lie at the moment. It's like a little fib. I think some things
could
change.
Do you remember that whopper it told when Leicester won the league?
That wouldn't back down, would it?
No. We just all had to accept it.
The league table is the only pure thing in football these days, I think.
Probably is.
Numbers.
But I think there's a couple of teams maybe in a little touch of a false position, maybe.
Okay.
And I don't think Chelsea will finish as low as 10th, personally.
No.
But having said all that, I broadly agree with everything else that you just said.
Okay.
As I said at the start of this, it's a kind of interesting arrangement this Sunday game because it is at Stamford Bridge. I don't actually think Chelsea were that good against Spurs, but it didn't need to be.
That's what
good.
I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they fair enough. They end up winning 4-1, and I'll go back to what I said earlier. You can talk about the late goals, but Chelsea had so many chances. Nico Jackson, who to be absolutely fair to him, is a young player full of potential and very much in that kind of breed that Chelsea are trying to sign. A lot to come from him, I'm sure. But it was quite strange to me how he couldn't adjust to the line that Spurs were planning, just get himself onside. Mm. It was quite telling the way he scored his goals was someone of better experience like Raheem Sterling breaking the offside trap, timing his run properly and cutting the ball back. And he was putting the ball into the open net. If that was a top player at the top of his game, like a Nkunku maybe, I think that's worse for Spurs. I think that scoreline looks worse for them. And so What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, you know, I wonder whether he can make a serious impact against a team like Man City if he starts up front.
Mm. We want to see Doku again, don't we?
Oh, I love Doku.
Yeah.
I love Doku.
Loads of fun.
Yeah.
All the fun.
On Saturday at 12:30, which gets us underway tomorrow, Wolves versus Spurs, the Premier League's key match incident panel, by the way.
K-MIP.
Yes, has been very busy.
K-MIP.
Yeah.
The K-MIP posse.
They've been very busy, presumably, trying to appease Gary O'Neill.
K-MIP, Norfolk's best, North Norfolk's best music mix.
Now, they ruled that both penalties given against Wolves in the Newcastle and Sheffield United games shouldn't have stood.
Yes, I think it's good, isn't it?
If you're a Spurs player in this game, just do forward rolls in that Wolves box. sooner or later, one of them's getting given.
And do what you want in your own box.
Yeah.
You know, presumably, as we've seen... they did dismiss K-MIP. They did dismiss Mikel Arteta's complaints and said the decision to give Anthony Gordon, his goal against Arsenal was correct. So again, that has affirmed or confirmed that Mikel Arteta's comments were embarrassing.
I'm off for a cup of tea, Jim. You carry on.
So I this did give me pause for thought, to be honest, because I read the sort of explanation of this, and there's a line that says, although Joe Linton does have his hands on Gabriel, there isn't enough to award a foul as Gabriel had made an action to play the ball before any contact. And this made me think back to school, because I remember if you went to sit down, someone pulled your chair out from under you and you fell over, the teacher would go, I'm sorry, you've made an action to sit down. So my hands are tied, I can't do anything. Yeah. So you made an action.
Enjoy your broken spine.
Yeah.
You're right. The thing is, this speaks to the very heart of the problem, right? When I saw that information released by our friends at the K-MIP posse, right, I thought, great, this is justification for me to have a big go at Jim.
Yeah.
And it'd be funny. We'll put it in the group.
He's done you there.
Well, he has done me there because they've got no credibility. So, because K-MIP have got no credibility, everyone goes, well, if they think it's a fucking great decision, it's probably a shit one.
Right.
So now it turns out Jim was right.
The really mad thing about this as well, from my perspective, is that naturally we're all sort of, you know, vulnerable to this, that you naturally can't help but back your club to some point initially in situations like this. Every time I
turn
around, I turn around, they're doubling down again and again and again. And I'm just dizzy at this point.
At some point,
it keeps going on.
But imagine if there's another big stinker in an Arsenal game this weekend.
There's going to be, of course, like not necessarily this weekend. At some point in the season, there will be. Or there'll be one that isn't that bad that seems worse because of it.
But that's a good point. Now the dust has settled, though, Jim, and I know you've got your point on the Arteta thing and you make your point articulately about the K-MIP posse's decision and their kind of statement, which is further kind of, you know, further just muddies the whole thing. Do you now think that now the dust has settled, it was wrong for Arsenal to release a statement as a club?
Yeah, I think the statement was unnecessary. I said that at the time.
Mark is laughing. That was a serious question.
No, I'm laughing the fact that you just want Jim to say that was unnecessary.
But it was unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, I said it at the time.
I just wanted to hear it again.
I just quite like the fact that when, you know, Mikel Arteta was obviously described as, what was it, is a Mercedes or Rolls-Royce Neil Warnock? Yeah,
Mercedes Neil Warnock.
Yeah. Well, Neil Warnock has had his say on VAR.
I saw that, yeah.
Surprise, surprise, everybody. Yeah. Oh, well, the trouble is referees. I mean, they've never played the game.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, yeah. But one point he talks
problem
about...
His problem is it's administrated in London, isn't it? It's actually Stockley Park. It's fucking London.
Yeah. Yeah. I just sort of think, like, do you really want ex-footballers near the tech?
And also, who's going to be doing that?
Like, Neil, if you actually watched the whole video...
James Milner.
Yeah, what Neil said was he didn't want it to be managed or administered by typical London lefties.
Yeah.
Neil makes me laugh.
Giving them the login for the video.
The best thing, though, is that when he finished, as his little chat ends, he says, you know, he's moaning about it, says they don't understand the game, we need ex-players or manager, all this sort of stuff, the usual bluster. And then he said, I mean, but if you're taking more than 30 seconds to decide a decision, then obviously that's poor. You just go with what the referee's given, you know, even if it's wrong. It's like, no, but that's... So there we go. Like, you've just undermined everything you've said.
No, you didn't say that during your career.
Well, it went up. I mean, by 31 seconds, they realised it was offside, but no.
Yeah.
We should have moved on.
Neil, as it stands, you're never going to have to deal with VAR.
Yeah.
Not in the championship, mate. Not in the championship.
There's a couple of things that could happen instantly to make it better. One is stop the clock when they're doing it.
Right.
And that makes it slightly better.
Yes.
And the second thing is the idea that if it's not clear and obvious, just don't worry about it. So what you're saying there, what Neil's saying there...
But that's still open to interpretation, Luke.
He's
Everything is... open to interpretation.
The other thing I was going to say you could do
right
is you let everyone hear the dialogue.
I don't think it's all just optics, though, isn't it? It's all just like, the clock doesn't look as bad if it whips up to 100 minutes.
It will only annoy people even more, don't
you? Good process.
It will appease... Are we on pitch decision?
Yeah, good process.
It will appease nobody.
No, but it will appease the conspiracy theorists in theory, but who cares about them? Exactly, yeah. we shouldn't be trying to appease them.
This is always going to be the case, right? Referees make decisions and they get the vast majority of decisions correct, but of course there's some whoppers that you think, oh, blimey, you know, that's very frustrating. Right, let's bring in VAR. And by and large, it has eliminated most of them. Yeah. But of course, when there is a bad decision that is given by VAR, it makes it even more frustrating. That's all it's done. So we're in a better place, unquestionably, but it's going to be a little more... So you're going to have a little more frustration, but you can have more decisions correct.
I think people have quite short memories about how frustrated everybody was by like poor decisions prior to VAR. And obviously VAR has created a completely different set of frustrations, which seem more dramatic, which is... in a way, quite fun in its own way, as things get heightened and people like, let's be honest, people like to get wound up about football.
How dare you say that? There's this idea that it was this land of milk and honey and everything was really chilled out pre-VAR, but it wasn't the case. That's the reason why it was brought in.
But here's the thing, you say that, and that is anecdotal, and that is talking about personalities and people's feelings. That's about emotion, basically. The facts of the matter before VAR came in, and this was widely talked about before they brought it in, was that referees get over 92% of decisions correct, and assistant referees were getting over 98% of their offside calls correct. So actually, when you put that into the broad scheme of things around players making mistakes and managers making mistakes and everyday life people making mistakes, they were pretty fucking good. And we tried to fix a problem that necessarily didn't need fixing.
We tried to help them. That sounds ridiculous. They opted to go for this thing. Well, maybe. I mean, look, this idea that the standard of refereeing has been really, really, really poor. Again, you look at the stats. I admit there has been some decisions.
But this has undermined them.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Because they've lost their authority on the pitch.
But honestly, the side that I felt most sorry for with regards to the decision this season have been Wolves, you know.
But I'm basing that
on two decisions, really. Maybe three, but that's it.
On the game itself.
Costly ones, admittedly.
On the game itself, this is a massive test for Spurs. Because they've got so many players out.
Yeah.
It's a 12:30 kickoff, which means it can be a bit sluggish. They played on Monday night. I know they didn't have Europe, but they played on Monday. They've got a decision to make around who they play at centre-back.
And how high that line is.
Yeah, well, listen.
Don't worry, they won't score. They'll get in loads, but they won't score.
You say that. If Ange Postecoglou wants to go after a game, they've lost 4-1 at home, and say, that's who we are, mate. Yeah. That's how we play. I think that might be Eric Dier and Pierre-Emile Højbjerg at the back.
Lovely. It might just be...
Let's see you two on the halfway line.
Yeah.
Because they are not the quickest players.
We have seen them on the halfway line, Luke.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Van de Ven is an absolute athlete.
Yeah.
He's a quick athlete. Romero's pretty quick as well. They're going to have to either play the young boy who hasn't, I don't even played in the Premier League yet. Is it Ashley Phillips? Or they're going to have to play those two guys at the back. They've got 10 players out injured or suspended.
Yeah. Well, they're going to attack. And that's why people, the neutrals, have been enjoying them this season. And that's why they got a round of applause from their own supporters, despite losing 4-1 to a rival.
They'll line up with a defence of 10, a midfield of 10, and a forward line of 10.
All in a big long line.
All in a big long line.
the human centipede.
And VAR will miss the fact that they've got loads of extra players on the pitch.
The human Spursipede.
Dear. But it should be a good game nonetheless. Before we go to our ramble, everybody, a little update on our Peter Reid and Dominic Cummings situation. Not our situation, I think it's the nation's situation.
Yeah.
On Monday, of course.
For all of us, not just for us.
Yeah, on Monday, we all discovered that they had agreed to meet up for a drink. On Thursday, Dominic Cummings posted a picture of himself with a bandage over one eye after having emergency surgery. We all leapt to conclusions, frankly. But he then tweeted saying, "And no, this is not the result of my excellent drink with Peter Reid."
Yeah. Well, we all know that Dominic Cummings has trouble with his eyesight, so he's probably just looked into something there, isn't
he? True.
I've got a theory on this. I think they're starting a new single-issue party based around getting the hand of God overturned.
I was just
starting in 3D. Butcher's in. Butcher hasn't heard about it yet, but he's in.
They had to do it when Maradona had passed on.
Butcher's the attack dog.
So we've all gone out and had a nice drink with our friends, with each other.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever described it as an excellent drink?
Excellent drink, guys. Good process. I was disappointed with these news because I would have quite liked Dominic Cummings to have been chinned by Peter Reid, but by anyone, really.
Slow acting poison, he could have popped it in there.
Yeah, some people would say that, you know, a lot of people would say that you shouldn't advocate for violence in the political sphere. It's the way to lose an argument. It's the, it's not, it goes beyond what's acceptable. I would disagree with that. I would say Dominic Cummins getting a punch in the face is arguably exactly what he needs and probably what he needed when he was a lot younger to stop him being such a dickhead.
Are you saying he's a failure of British bullying?
I think so, yeah. I think why are we never bullying the ones that need to be bullied? That's my issue.
Pete seems to want to reward him because he says give him a bonk. Yeah.
Give him a bonk. Give every Tory front bencher a bonk.
Put a bonk on it.
Bonk them all.
What kind of bonk? The old
bonk on the head.
A bonk on the head.
A Keystone Cops old-fashioned bonk on the head.
Right.
With a truncheon? With your own truncheon. Yeah, with a Pringles can. Bonk. It's time for Betfair. We'll be absolutely delighted that it's now time for their football ramble acca. This is a segue they always dreamed of.
Give them a bonk.
With Betfair, you can bonk your own football accumulators this season with their 90-minute payout. Where all winning selections will be paid out in 90 minutes on their Match Odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. And this weekend, you can get a completely free acca on the football, so do check that out. Today and every Friday, of course, each of us here we'll choose our own weekend Premier League game and build an acca of four Match Odds 90 bets. Now, we haven't had a win this season yet, but it's only November. And what
you will see,
yeah, exactly. And what you will see from these statistics I'm going to read out throughout this little section is that individually we actually do pretty well. So we just got to stick at it, I think.
That's why I said collectively, because
some some people's fixtures are just too brave.
I partly think that it's mostly your fault, Pete.
No.
Because you pick quite a rogue selection sometimes, but more on that in a minute. Marcus, you are up first. You've got 9 out of 11 correct. I mean, it's brilliant. It's just under 90%.
Yeah, and it was that VAR decision, of course, that cost Liverpool and me that particular prediction.
Well, and all of us, and charity.
Indeed, it did. I'm going for a Nottingham Forest win away to West Ham.
It's bold, but his record speaks for itself.
And because West Ham played in Europe and they might be a bit tired.
Yeah, Forest got a good win recently.
That's my prediction. Don't ask me why.
Okay, it's a good feature, isn't it?
That is part of it.
Hi, Betfair, how are you doing? Yeah, sorry, I would have done more on it, but Marcus
wouldn't let me ask him.
I wasn't allowed to ask him any questions.
He said no further questions and walked out.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Marcus. Not appreciate your input.
No, I think they're going to do it, and I think they're due a win away in London.
It's Peter,
right?
This is exciting.
Here we go. Okay.
You, my boy,
right?
Are on a hat-trick.
Yes.
You've got 3 out of 7 correct, but you've got your last two correct. So think about this.
Form player.
Yeah. What are you going for?
We'll get to your draw later on, because that's ridiculous. Wolves versus Spurs, I'm going to go for. And Bonkokoglu has got selection issues, as you said, Luke. I think it's going to be a draw. And that's my hat trick, all right?
A draw at Molyneux.
That's my lock.
I think that's a nice bet.
That's my lock.
Fair enough. Jim.
So we have a subplot developing, which is I keep betting against Fulham. Yeah. Marcus advises me not to, and then Marcus, as he loves to be, turns out to be right.
I think it's only happened once.
Well, that's enough.
That's enough. 100%. But what you kind of
reacted to it.
When we're planning this in the WhatsApp group during the week, though, whenever someone says, it doesn't matter where he is or what he's doing, if anyone backs against Fulham, straight away, Marcus is typing. This is a swear word. You're an idiot.
We were so close to getting Donaldson.
I know.
Because I wanted Manchester United to win, because ultimately I want charity to win more than the team.
You care more about that, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm going to put this theory to the test. I think Fulham are going to get crushed like their beloved Conservative Party in a by-election by Aston Villa. So Aston Villa to win.
Yeah.
Right, you do your bit. I'm just going to see who the local MP is.
You can write a letter.
Jim, I mean, joke aside, we all like to have a laugh. You've only got 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I know. So you need to get back on the horse. It's this weird vendetta with Fulham. So, yeah. I need Villa to do me a solid here.
Fair enough. I've gone for Brighton to beat Sheffield United at home. Now, the reason for that...
I'm not having any criticism thrown my way when you're choosing those fixtures.
It's because Vish isn't here.
Right.
So I've got to do the easy gimme. That said, Brighton did play midweek. You know,
they did. Foundation.
So, yeah, so Brighton to beat Sheffield United is my pick. I've got 5 out of 8 correct. So in summary, Nottingham Forest to win at West Ham, a draw at Molyneux between Wolves and Spurs, Aston Villa to beat Marcus's brave Fulham boys, and Brighton to beat Sheffield United. The £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £196.88. If we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK, come what may. So remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their Match Odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Importantly, any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are there undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Opt-in required and previous deposit required. Max free bet varies from £1 to £10 per customer. Minimum odds of 1.5 on minimum one leg. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
A what? It's a simple game of categories. It's Jack's Encyclopedia. If you're going to go too slow, you're going to hear Gary Neville, and Yes. That's about it.
So I developed Gary O'Neville into a verb last week.
Right.
It got picked up on social media. I said, when Marcus was taking ages, Gary Neville the cunt. Mm. And to Gary Neville someone is to hurry someone up now.
Right.
Did he retweet that one?
He did it, no. That's the thing. It's quite awkward, actually.
Is that like Paxman?
So Neville loves my output without ever actually listening to it.
He loves your output.
Yeah. I love it. He loves his output.
You all do, don't you?
Do you like Fizz's output?
Yeah.
Right. Round number one, we're going to kick things off with Jim. After Pepe became the oldest goal scorer in Champions League history, you knew this was coming. Wow. Name the 20 oldest outfield players to ever be used in the Premier League.
Yes.
Okay. Outfield players in the Premier League. It's their age at the time of their last appearance, people.
Thiago Silva.
Thiago Silva.
He's got to be in there.
39 years, 1 month.
Got to be in there. Brad Friedel.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
I like it, but I did say outfield. So.
Oh, sorry. Oh, silly me.
Very
me.
Silly.
Yeah, that's me crossing out David James.
James David.
I'll go for your friend and mine. Played for Brighton. There's now a coach, I think. Bruno.
Ooh.
Full name?
He's just known as Bruno, isn't he?
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Bruno Saltor.
Oh, that was fabulous, darling.
38 years, 7 months.
Nine!
impressive stuff.
Jim, who have you got, mate?
So I reckon he's still around, and I reckon he's James Milner.
I was going next.
James Milner.
No way.
Yeah, in there.
Luke Moore.
Okay.
Pressure.
Teddy Sheringham.
Brilliant.
He's the oldest, 40 years, 8 months. Congratulations, Lukey Moe. You could have had Brian Robson, Colin Cooper, Damon Dash, Dennis Irwin, Gordon Strachan, Graham Alexander, Kevin Phillips, Mark Hughes, Nigel Winterburn, 39 years, and 1 month. Paul Scholes, Phil Jagielka, Ray Wilkins, the late great Ray Wilkins, Richard Goff, Ryan Giggs, Stuart Pearce, Trevor Francis, and two guys.
Do you know what? I really thought Brad Friedel was older when he played.
You imagine if he did like one appearance at left back. That's a point for more. Come
good
on.
Stuff. All right, round number two. Let's kick things off with
Jim,
Marcus
can we work together?
Speller?
Here?
Yeah,
we do tactically.
Yeah, send each other messages. The 20 players who have made the most appearances for Pep Guardiola throughout his career as manager. The 20 players who have made the most appearances for Pep Guardiola throughout his career as manager.
That's a great question.
It's the Pep mainstays, Marcus.
Got to be Kevin De Bruyne, surely.
Kevin De Bruyne, 317.
That's good.
Not far off top.
I will go with Sergio Aguero.
Sergio Aguero, 182.
I will go with Lionel Messi.
Lionel Messi, 219.
I'll go for Xavi.
Xavi, 208.
David Silva.
Nice.
David Silva.
Fuck.
Surprising.
No. Unfortunate.
That's really surprising.
That is surprising, isn't it?
Okay.
That's why I was looking down my list. I was, he's got to be in there somewhere.
I thought he'd be down the bottom. It's alphabetical.
I will go for Andres Iniesta.
Oh.
Oh. Blimey.
Nope.
How about that? I'll have Carl Walker to win it.
And you will.
Yeah. You didn't need to do it. You went first, didn't you? So you won it anyway.
Well, I wanted to rub it in.
There you go.
I would argue there's no such Carl Walker.
Jim. You could have had Dani Alves, Edison, Fernandinho, Gabriel Jesus, Piqué, Gundogan, John Stones, 235. 235.
Get on that.
Phil Foden, 234.
Really?
Raheem Sterling, 292. 200.
Sorry,
292, Marcus.
That is incredible.
Raheem Sterling. Mahrez, 236. Rodri, 221. Sergio Busquets at 191. Keita at 188. Victor Valdez at 200. And
Calvin Phillips.
Far and above the leader. Bernardo Silva, 318.
Wow. How about that?
Wow.
Wowzers. Wow. All right, Lukey Mo. The 20 players who have made the most appearances for Jose Mourinho throughout his career as manager.
Oh, wow.
The 20 players... who have made the most appearances for Jose Mourinho. He's moved around a little bit more, is that fair to say? And he's also, you know, kept loyalty with slightly more underwhelming footballers, one might argue.
Okay, I'll go for John Terry. Yeah.
John Terry, JT 266. Jim?
I'll go for Frank Lampard.
Oh, you might.
That was the only time I had.
215.
Surely Paddock.
Paddock. 195.
Your friend and mine, the great Ashley Cole.
Yeah, that was the other one I had.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Okay. I had a chance to win!
Yeah.
Sorry, Lukey Moore.
I will go for, given that he played for two different clubs that Mourinho was at, I think Nemanja Matic.
209 matches.
Well played.
Well done. That's brilliant.
Well played.
I completely forgot about him managing Man United.
Mm.
I'll have Julio Cesar.
Oh,
very good. But it's not the one.
Not in there. He's not in there.
So that's a point to Jim,
That's a point to Jim,
Well, so it's a tie break.
Here we go.
It's a three-way tie break.
That was but a tricky before one. Before we leave, I'll let you know the... so you could have had Angel Di Maria, Chris Smalling, Makaleli, Ronaldo, that's Drogba, mad. Hazard, Casillas, Benzema, Ozil, Essien, Ferreira, Pepe, 125, Sami Khedira and Sergio Ramos and Xabi Alonso and 293, the leader, Carvalho.
Oh,
Ricardo Carvalho.
He was at Real Madrid longer than we all remembered.
For fuck's sake.
All right, the tiebreaker.
Here we go.
Three-way
this is what the people want. This is what the people want.
Ed's on.
Who goes first?
Jim goes first. Top 20 club stadiums by all seated capacity in the United Kingdom.
Oof.
Top 20 club stadiums by all seated capacity in the United Kingdom. This is according to Wikipedia. And the stadium has to be the regular home of a club in the UK. So Wembley doesn't count as one.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Top 20 club stadiums by all seated capacity in the United Kingdom.
Jim?
I said Old Trafford.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, darling. I missed that. Okay. Old Trafford. Yes. No 74,000.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
62.
St. James's Park.
St. James's Park is in there, 52.
Ibrox.
Ibrox is in there, 50.
Well, I've Celtic Park.
And yeah, you bastard.
And a bet, 60.
Anfield.
53. Due to increase soon to 61.
Ooh.
The Emirates Stadium.
Emirates, 60.
I'll have the Etihad.
60. Beautiful.
Now we're getting to slim now pickings now, aren't we, boys? Down to the business end.
Now you're making your money.
Yeah. I'll go with Villa Park.
Nicely done.
Nice.
42 in there.
So I will go with the London Stadium.
Yeah.
London Stadium, 62. And an off.
Go for the Stadium of Light.
Stadium of Light. Good shout well done, there, Marcus. That's a really 49.
Guess. Well done. That's brilliant.
All new stadiums.
Thanks, bruv.
Hillsborough.
Oh.
39.
Yeah.
Very good, Luke. This is a good round.
Stamford Bridge.
Stamford Bridge. 41.
How many left?
Full of dickheads. 5, 6, 7, 8, 7. You got seven left.
Seven left. Goodison Park.
Yeah.
It's in there.
Get in there.
Well done, mate. 40.
Oh, now
40.
We're getting,
I thought it was
now we're getting. Now it's getting tough.
Going gets tough.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
St. Mary's.
Good goal.
I really wanted to get that.
It's getting tough now.
Yeah.
Unless I can pull one out of my brain, I'm going to go for the Amex Stadium.
Nah.
Unfortunately not.
I'll have the Walker Stadium.
It's not called that.
Oh, and it's not
you mean
even
the
right.
King Power.
Oh, did I say that? Yeah. Bloody hell.
We so we're all back in?
You're all back in. Well, you got it wrong anyway.
You could have
it wrong anyway. Lucky Moore.
Here's one for you. Here's one for you.
Here we go.
Put it out there.
Yeah.
Carrow Road.
Oh, I like it, but I don't like it.
Ah, shame.
Sorry, mate.
Bramall Lane?
Jesus Christ, guys.
The City Ground.
Hop back in.
Jesus. What did you say then?
I said the
one last
ground,
round and then
the
you're
city
out.
Ground.
Okay.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place
Molyneux.
That was mine as well.
Go on, Jim. What have we got for
tough.
Us?
Tough.
It's Torres. You're never getting a Neville.
No.
In the Champions
League final, the headline has
been written. Come on, Marcus. Let's have a Panenka.
Surely the King Power Stadium.
Fucking hell, Marcus. No.
Oh, well, I thought.
Should we keep going until we get one, guys? Until one of you idiots gets
one. This is one of those penalty shootouts where everyone's going, would somebody put it away?
Okay.
They can't believe this. We're missing obvious ones here.
We must be.
I'm giving you a lot of time because you need it.
Portman Road.
Stadium. St. Andrews.
Fuck's sake. I thought about that.
Oh, God.
There's points where I can't remember the name of the club stadium.
Yeah.
Selhurst Park. It's not right. I just know it's not that big. I'm just at the amount of ground.
This is the sound of the indigenous name of stadium. Yeah.
Main road.
It's back on me, right?
Back on you.
I don't want it on me.
I can't believe it. There were people going mental listening to this guy. I can't believe you've not thought of this one.
Okay. It's Torres. I'm sick of hearing that. The county ground. Just name a stadium.
Jim!
To be fair,
name a stadium!
The Hawthorns!
Any stadium!
Hawthorns was the one.
Piss off! Marcus! Give me a goddamn stadium right now that's got. I mean, you can have over 34,000 and you're pretty much there.
It's sudden death.
A big place you've been!
It's just the first one person to name one.
Watching some football!
It's just the first person to name one. It's fucking Gary Neville the cunt!
Oh, Craven Cottage. I know it's wrong, but if it was right, I thought I've got to say that.
I've got B places, Luke!
Okay.
I can't believe this.
Bramwell Lane.
Right. The baseball ground.
Do you mean Pride Park? Correct. Well done. Fucking hell.
We needed a winner. We did.
Play the outro. Fuck off. See you later.
Thanks for listening.
Go to twitter.com/footballramble for yourself. You've got TikTok, we've got everything. Thank you, Betfair. See you later. Bye.
I think I speak.
You could have had Cardiff City, you could have had Coventry, you could have had Elland Road, you could have had Hampden Park, Queen's Park FC played there. You could have had the Riverside. Get it together.
I thought about saying Hampden Park because of Queen's Park.
Fucking say it then.
Yeah, I should have.
Elland Road's a poor one. That was the big one.
Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah.
Shit in your hat and punch it.
As a great man once said.
Oh dear, harumph. I think we've returned to the original meaning of it. There we are, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Football Ramble, the home of
Jackson Encyclopedia.
Facts and memories.
Yeah. Send it Pug Molesway.
Yeah. The Football Ramble preview show, of course, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Yeah, follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Get your pit bull on. The keys are in the lock. Get out there and visit one of our fine stadiums in the land. There's loads to choose from, apparently.
Go to a bigger one because you get more chance of getting in.
Exactly. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.